RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia will discuss terrorism financing issues in the ASEAN summit in Laos. Cuba expects direct trade with Indonesia. Meetings, incentives, conferences, and events are MICE predicted to contribute 7% to number of foreign arrivals. Now the news in detail. Coordinating Minister of Politics, Legal and Security Affairs Wiranto is scheduled to attend the 28th and 29th ASEAN Summit Conference, as well as some other summit conferences such as ASEAN-US Summit in Vientiane, Laos on September 6 to 7, 2016. Wiranto said in Jakarta on Monday, in the summit conference, Indonesia will talk about politics and security in ASEAN region. As chairman of delegation, he will convey the issue of financing terrorism. Wiranto also stated, currently terrorism issues are no longer become one or two countries' burden. According to him, an effort of terrorism eradication will be effective when it is implemented by cooperating among ASEAN member countries. He also asserted that Indonesian position is important in the ASEAN cooperation. As trade relations between Indonesia and Cuba still involve the third parties, the Cuban government opens opportunity for direct trade with the Indonesian government. In an interview with the Voice of Indonesia recently, Director General of Bilateral Affairs of the Cuban Foreign Minister, Gerardo Peñalver Portal, said that direct trade would create efficiency.
We have the possibility of establishing direct ties. Without intermediaries, we can establish direct trade without using third parties, because that would make the operations more efficient and that would reduce the costs. We should work also to create a better banking framework. The relations between the banks from Cuba and Indonesia, we have to remove obstacles in order to make this banking relations more fluid, and we're working in this direction.
He added that business people from the two countries should be supported by banking system, as it will make the trade relations more efficient. The Director General revealed that trade exchange between Indonesia and Cuba reaches $20 to $25 million. According to him, it may increase as there are many products that the two countries can offer to each other. The Cuban government paves the way for cooperation in health sector in a bigger scope. In an interview with Voice of Indonesia recently, Director General of Bilateral Affairs of the Cuban Foreign Minister, Gerardo Peñalver Portal, revealed that the cooperation may expand in scholarship, medical service export, aid in emergency situation, and new medication creation.
Cuba offers the possibility also for foreign studies, for foreign students to study medicine in Cuba. We have some Indonesian students in Cuba, but we would like, of course, to have more. We have granted scholarships. There is a possibility also to export our medical services. We have more than 40,000 doctors working in more than 70 countries. We could cooperate also in emergency situations, we could cooperate in the field of creating new medications, vaccines, on the basis of biotechnology and genetic engineering.
According to the Cuban Director General, Indonesia has proven that it is possible to establish cooperation in the field of health. Cooperation in this sector has even strengthened historic ties, not only between the two governments, but also the people. It was shown in 2004 after tsunami hit Aceh province and 2006 after earthquake hit Yogyakarta, when a team of Cuban doctors came to Indonesia with medicine and equipment to help the affected people. The tourism ministry predicted that meetings, incentives, conferences and events or MICE would contribute 5-7% to the total number of foreign tourist arrivals in Indonesia in 2016. The government's target for the number of foreign tourist arrivals in the country is set at 12 million this year. Assistant Deputy of Development of Asia-Pacific Market of the Tourism Ministry, Vincentius Jamadu, said the target is relatively low as the MICE tourism facilities are still not sufficiently available in the country. He explained that starting this year, the government would be more aggressive in exploiting the potentials of MICE tourism. Vincentius added that so far the country has not been serious in seeking to tap the MICE tourism potentials, whereas MICE tourists are bigger spenders compared with holidaymakers. The Indonesian government has set target for foreign tourist arrivals at 20 million in 2019, and MICE visitors are expected to make up 20% of the total number. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The House of Munir Museum, or Omah Munir, and Sahabat Munir or Friends of Munir activists will commemorate the 12-year anniversary of the slain human rights campaigner with a series of movie screenings this week. This year's theme, according to Omah Munir, volunteer Ocu Agustin, is a night to pay attention to Munir. The screenings will be held from September 4 to 11 in 23 cities including Jakarta, Bandung, Medan, Surabaya, Bali, Makassar, and Jayapura. The peak will be on September 7, the day Munir Saib Talib, the founder of the Commission for Missing Persons and Victims of Violence Contras, died after being poisoned aboard an airplane from Indonesia to Amsterdam in 2004. The movies to be shown were about Munir and social injustice, as the screenings aim to draw society's attention to Munir's unresolved case. Activists would also hold their weekly silent protests in front of the State Palace as part of effort to commemorate the activist's death on September 8th as every Thursday. The Public Works and Public Housing Ministry has expressed its support for the construction of infrastructure to facilitate the development of tourism destinations in Raja Ampat, Papua. Raja Ampat is one of the ministry's top 10 tourism destination development priority. The Public Housing and Public Works Minister Basuki Hadimulyono said one of the ministry's programs in Raja Ampat to develop its tourism sector is road construction. The ministry is currently constructing a 340-kilometer long Raja Ampat ring road. Aside from road construction and improvement, according to Basuki, Wasai Port in Raja Ampat will also be revamped. The minister said in a written statement Sunday, September 4, 2016, that they have completed 152-kilometer, 30 kilometers of which has been paved with asphalt. He believed they have to set a designated program for Wasai Port improvement to turn it into an entry to national and even international tourism attractions. PT Indofood Sukses Makmur continues to expand its business overseas by building a factory in Serbia. The factory was built on 5 hectares of land with a total investment of 11 million euros, or roughly 163 billion rupiah. Operating since August 2016, the Indofoods factory has absorbed hundreds of workers, most of whom are Serbian youth. Salim Group Executive Director Extan Salim said improved cooperation between Indonesia and Serbia has been one of the bases for Indofood's successful investment in Serbia. The factory's current production capacity is 500,000 boxes per month, which are distributed throughout Europe. Serbia's trade agreements with various countries in the region have attracted Indofood to invest. The factory, situated at Inđija, around 80 km from Serbian capital Beograd, was inaugurated by Serbian President Tomislav Nikolic Friday, September 2, 2016. Serbian President has expressed his appreciation and support for the Indonesian business's investment as a concrete step to improve economic ties between the two countries. Indonesian investment is rare in Serbia. However, it continues to show a positive trend. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesia will discuss tourism financing issues in the ASEAN summit in Laos. Cuba expects direct trade with Indonesia. Meetings, incentives, conferences, and events or MICE predicted to contribute 7% to number of foreign arrivals. That was the news.
Listener, our commentary today entitled G20 and BNP for Indonesia. Indonesian President Joko Widodo and with other members of the G20 attended the opening of the 11th G20 summit held on September 4 and 5 in Hangzhou, Zhejiang, China. This time, the G20 summit is tinted towards strengthening interconnected and inclusive innovative world economy. G20 is a group of 19 major economies in the world plus the European Union. Officially, it is called the Group of 20 Finance Ministers and Central Bank Governors. Formed in 1999, this group is a forum to systematically gather the forces of developed and developing economies to discuss key issues of the world economy. The formation of this forum came from the world financial crisis in 1998. In a meeting of seven developed countries or the G7, an opinion occurred about the lack of effectiveness of the meeting if they did not involve other economic forces and listening to their interest. This group has amassed nearly 90% of the world GNP, 80% of total world trade, and 2/3 of the world's population. However, some believe that the G20 is a forum which is useless and only a leisure treat for leaders and financial officials of the countries involved. Because of the various meetings that had been held, the G20 could never unify opinion and generate productive discussion. Regardless of arguments against the existence of the G20, the government of Indonesia has obtained some benefits from the G20 summit this time. This is proven by the many requests from some of the leaders of the G20 to meet President Joko Widodo on the sidelines of the G20 and produce agreements that benefit Indonesia. Take, for example, President Joko Widodo met with President of People's Republic of China, Xi Jinping, in Hangzhou City. As a result of the meeting, Indonesian tropical fruit is going to have an easy market to China. The agreement was reached after President Joko Widodo and President Xi Jinping saw the wide trade deficit between the two countries. Moreover, President Joko Widodo also received a visit of the Deputy Prime Minister, concurrently Defense Minister of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, who is also Deputy Crown Prince, Muhammad bin Salman bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud, on 4th of September. During the meeting, the two leaders discussed efforts to boost economic cooperation and the problem of Hajj. Saudi Arabia wants to make an investment on large scale or mega investment in Indonesia. Hopefully, the 11th G20 summit in Hangzhou, Zhejiang, China can provide benefits for Indonesia, especially in the economic field. Because in the G20 forum, the main message delivered by President Joko Widodo is the importance of information disclosure among the G20, including the transparency of the international tax system and Indonesian support to the balance of fairness in the global trading system. In addition, President Joko Widodo also emphasized that Indonesia pays serious attention to small and medium enterprises meant to support the inclusiveness as well as the development of infrastructure that will encourage the growth of the world economy. Listener, that was commentary today read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, we meet you again in our daily program Today in History over aerial service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. While we begin, we define that happened on September 5th, 1945 when Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX from Yogyakarta and Pakualam VIII stated the Sultanate is part of Republic of Indonesia. Yogyakarta is a city which was established in 1755 along with Kingdom of Ngayogyakarta Hadiningrat by Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono I in Forest of Banyan III, an area between Winongo River and Kot River, where the location is the strategic place according to security defense site at the time. After the proclamation of independence on August 17, 1945, Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX and Sri Paduka Pakualam VIII received a charter to be a governor and vice governor of Yogyakarta from then President of Indonesia Sukarno. On September 5, 1945, he gave an instruction stating that the Sultanate and Pakualam areas were a special region that becomes the part of Republic of Indonesia according to Article 18 in the 1945 Constitutions. On October 30, 1945, he gave a second instruction stating that the administration in the specialized region of Yogyakarta would be carried out by Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX and Sri Paduka Pakualam XIII along with the National Working Committee. On September 5, 1972, the slaughter of Munich, a terrorist group of Palestine whose name is September Hitam, held, hosted and killed Israeli athletes when Olympiad of München was held in 1972. The slaughter of München, which is also called as September Hitam, was a tragedy that happened when the Olympiad of München was held in Germany 1972. On September 5, 1972, September Hitam or Black September consisted of Palestinian people who held hostage and killed 11 Israeli athletes and one police. The opposing Black September also carried out a kidnapping operation called Berin Ikrit. The target was a place of Israeli athletes who participated in the Munich Olympics. The members of Black September went into the place of Israeli athletes and shot one of the athletes and kidnapped 11 Israeli athletes. After imprisoning 9 Israeli athletes, Black September demanded to set 234 Palestinians free from Israel prison and two of the leaders, Badr Meinhof from West Germany prison, and had a safe way to Egypt. However, to set Palestinians free, Israeli government refused the request except the safe way to Egypt, which was agreed by Germany. The 8 members of September Black and 8 prisoners were taken by bus to the Fürstenberg airport using Jet 727. German government wanted to trap those Black September members in Fürstenberg airport, but the report to set the Palestinian was dissolved because two police personnel started to do something. Finally, both the police and the Black September sued each other and caused the death of both of them involving the athletes. The slaughter that lasted for 21 hours ended by exploding a helicopter causing all of the 11 Israeli athletes, 3 members of Black September and 1 police personnel from Germany died. When defense on September 5, 1984, when former Third Vice President and National Hero of Indonesia, Adan Malik, died. Adan Malik's career started as a journalist and figure. In his youth, he has been active as a movement figure to fight for independence of Indonesia. He did it through the establishment of Antara News Agency. In Japanese colonization, Adan Malik was also active in youth movement to fight for independence. In 1962, he was head of a delegation Republic of Indonesia to discuss about Indonesia and Dutch about West Indian area in Washington, D.C. In 1963, it was the first time for Adan Malik to serve a position in the government cabinet, which was called Kabinet Kerja 4 as Minister of Trade. In his career as a Minister of Foreign Affairs, Adan Malik started in Cabinet Ampera 1 in 1966. In 1967, he served again as a Minister of Foreign Affairs in Cabinet Ampera 2. In 1968, his career as Minister of Foreign Affairs continued in Cabinet Pembangunan 1, and the last was in Cabinet Pembangunan 2 as Minister of Foreign Affairs in 1973. In 1971, he was chosen as the 26th head of General Committee of United Nations. He was the first Indonesian and the only one to be head of General Committee of United Nations. His highest career was reached when he succeeded to be a Vice President of Republic of Indonesia, who was appointed by People's Consultative Assembly in 1978. After devoting himself for the country, Adan Malik died, passed away in Bandung, West Java on September 5, 1984, when he was 67 years old. Because of his merit, Adan Malik was given to various appreciations. All of them were Bintan Mahaputra in 1971, Bintan Adi Perdana in 1973, and he was appointed as national figure in 1998. Listener, that was Today in History from Air Rebel Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, Daily News and Events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Focus. Today's Focus theme is National New Source of Economic Growth. The Indonesian government continues to improve the national economy by accelerating the development of infrastructure in various areas. However, to accelerate economic growth, the government needs to find new sources in order to move the economy at the central and local levels. Deputy Governor of Bank Indonesia, Perry Warjio, in representative office of the bank in North Sulawesi on Friday, September the 2nd, as quoted by Kompas.com, said source of economic growth needed to face the current global economic conditions that have weakened. According to Perry Warjio, it is constituted as commodity prices trending is downward so that the government cannot rely on revenues from commodity exports. He explained it is necessary to take steps to maintain economic stability and look for new sources of economic growth. Perry Warjio said there are four steps to create a new source of economic growth in Indonesia. First, the government must do downstreaming to natural resources so there is an added value that is more than just selling raw materials. Second, the government should establish industries that generate revenue rapidly for the state, one of which is the tourism industry. Third, the investment climate in the center and in the regions must be good. He said, if a country can welcome investors, its economy will be going forward. He added, hence, easier regulation are also required by investors to invest in the central and local levels. The fourth, the government should accelerate the development of infrastructure to support the creation of new sources of economic growth. Perry expects these measures to be an alternative government policy to get revenue. Perry Warjio also said to encourage the tourism industry as a source of new economic growth, it takes considerable efforts in developing the tourism sector, among others, is to strengthen the tourism industry in terms of both infrastructure and maximize its potential. Therefore, it requires a policy synergy between Bank Indonesia and the central and region governments to support the tourism sector to become a new source of economic growth in this country. The same thing also stated by Minister of Tourism Arif Yahya, who said that the tourism sector will be able to push the national economy. As quoted by infobanknews.com, Minister Arif said Indonesia's tourism sector has great potential in supporting the national economy. Well, that was Focus Today on National New Source of Economic Growth. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Coordinating Minister of Politics, Legal and Security Affairs Wiranto is scheduled to attend the 28th and 29th
ASEAN Summit Conference, as well as some other summit conferences such as ASEAN-US Summit in Vientiane, Laos, on September 6 to 7, 2016. In the summit conference, Indonesia will talk about politics and security in ASEAN region. As trade relations between Indonesia and Cuba still involve the third parties, the Cuban government opens opportunity for direct trade with the Indonesian government. The Cuban government paves the way for cooperation in health sector in a bigger scope. In an interview with Voice of Indonesia recently, Director General of Bilateral Affairs of the Cuban Foreign Minister Gerardo Peñalver Portal revealed that the cooperation may expand in scholarship, medical service export, aid in emergency situation, and new medication creation. Tourism Ministry predicted that meetings, incentives, conferences, and events or MICE would contribute 5-7% to the total number of foreign tourist arrivals in Indonesia in 2016. The government's target for the number of foreign tourist arrivals in the country is set at 12 million this year. The House of Munir Museum, or Omah Munir, and Sahabat Munir or Friends of Munir activists will commemorate the 12-year anniversary of the death of the slain human rights campaigner with a series of movie screenings this week. The Public Works and Public Housing Ministry has expressed its support for the construction of the infrastructure to facilitate the development of tourism destinations in Raja Ampat, Papua. Raja Ampat is one of the ministry's top 10 tourism destination development priority. PT Indofood Success Makmur continues to expand its business overseas by building a factory in Serbia. The factory was built on 5 hectares of land, with a total investment of 11 million euros, or roughly 163 billion rupiah. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to West Nusa Tenggara. Stay tuned. Listeners, Lombok Island is one of tourist destinations in Indonesia. There are many well-known tourist destinations in Lombok. There is one of area in Lombok where even Lombok people do not know yet. It is Ringgit Bay. Listeners, geographic condition of East Lombok is generally hilly and has karst cliffs. Like at Ringgit Bay, there are cluster of karst cliffs, which is spread long and zigzag. The shape of those cliffs is cut like valley. Those cliffs directly border with Indian Ocean. From above, tourists can see beautiful sea panorama. Cluster of coral reefs can be seen behind bluish green of seawater. Ringgit Bay has some places which can be visited besides cliff and beach. Sharply under the cliff, there is fresh water well, even though at the edge of the sea. Besides, at the eastern side, there is a historical cave of Javanese heritage, namely Besar Cave. According to the history, there is fresh water pool in the cave. At Ringgit Bay, there is also another Japanese heritage, namely cannon. Ringgit Bay is located at the southeast of Lombok Island. The bay is at Jerowaru sub-district is Lombok Regency. Ringgit Bay has a distance around 85 kilometers from Mataram. The location of the bay can be accessed by using your own vehicle or rented car because there is no public transportation to Ringgit Bay. Location of Ringgit Bay is quite far. Because of that, if you visit this place, you feel like at your own private place. Well, listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Ringgit Bay. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Merayakan Ulang Tahun Radio Republik Indonesia, which in English means Celebrating the Day of Radio Republik Indonesia. Stay tuned. Listener, as usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Ulang tahun. Ulang tahun, which means birthday. Radio Republik Indonesia. Radio Republik Indonesia, which means Radio Republik Indonesia. Pulang kantor. Pulang kantor, which means office break. Mencari. Mencari, which means to look for. Sepatu olahraga. Sepatu olahraga, which means sport shoes. Rusak. Rusak, which means be damaged. Potongan harga. Potongan harga, which means discount. Hari Minggu. Hari Minggu, which means Sunday. Gerak jalan gembira. Gerak jalan gembira, which means fun walk. Yang ke-71. Yang ke-71, which means the 31st. Ikut. Ikut, which means to participate. Meriah. Meriah, which means be lively. Tamu. Tamu, which means guest. Pemenang. Pemenang, which means the winner. Quiz.
quiz, which means quiz. Lomba berbalas pantun. Lomba berbalas pantun, which means reciprocated poem competition. Lomba baca berita. Lomba baca berita, which means reading news competition. Bahasa daerah. Bahasa daerah, which means local language. Lomba reportase. Lomba reportase, which means reporting competition. Lomba busana. Lomba busana, which means fashion show competition. Lobby. Lobby, which means lobby. Now we give you an example of conversation entitled Merayakan Ulang Tahun Radio Republik Indonesia, or in English means Celebrating the Day of Radio Republik Indonesia. The conversation is between A. Santi and B. Nancy at the office. A. Santi. Hi Nancy, bagaimana kalau pulang kantor kita ke Casablanca Mall? Hi Nancy. Bagaimana kalau pulang kantor kita ke Casablanca Mall? Which means, Hi Nancy, can you accompany me to Casablanca Mall after the office break? B. Nancy, ada apa di sana? Ada apa di sana? Which means, what is going on there? A. Santi, saya mau mencari sepatu olahraga. Saya mau mencari sepatu olahraga. Which means, I want to look for sport shoes. Sepatu olahraga saya sudah rusak. Sepatu olahraga saya sudah rusak, which means my sport shoes is damaged. Kabarnya di sana sedang ada potongan harga. Kabarnya di sana sedang ada potongan harga, which means I heard there are a lot of discounts at the mall. B. Nancy. Oh ya? Baiklah. Nanti pulang kantor kita ke sana. Oh ya, baiklah. Nanti pulang kantor kita ke sana, which means great. Okay, we will go there after the office break. Hari Minggu ada gerak jalan gembira, bukan? Hari Minggu ada gerak jalan gembira, bukan? Which means on Sunday there will be a fun walk. Menyambut ulang tahun kantor kita, Radio Republik Indonesia yang ke-71. Menyambut ulang tahun kantor kita, Radio Republik Indonesia yang ke-71, which means to welcome the 31st birthday of Radio Republik Indonesia. Kamu ikut gerak jalan gembira, bukan? Kamu ikut gerak jalan gembira, bukan? Which means you also participate in the fun walk, don't you? A. Santi. Tentu saja saya ikut. Tentu saja saya ikut, which means sure. I will participate in the event. Oleh karena itu, saya mengajak kamu membeli sepatu olahraga. Oleh karena itu, saya mengajak kamu membeli sepatu olahraga. Which means, so I invite you to buy sport shoes. B. Nancy. Tahun ini pasti acara ulang tahun RRI lebih meriah. Tahun ini pasti acara ulang tahun RRI lebih meriah. Which means, this year, the anniversary of RRI is definitely more lively. Ada tamu pemenang kuis Wonderful Indonesia dari siaran luar negeri. Ada tamu pemenang kuis Wonderful Indonesia dari siaran luar negeri, which means we have guest the winners of Wonderful Indonesia quiz from The Voice of Indonesia. Selain itu, ada lomba berbalas pantun. Selain itu, ada lomba berbalas pantun, which means besides, there are also reciprocated poem competition. Lomba membaca berita dalam bahasa daerah. Lomba membaca berita dalam bahasa daerah, which means reading news competition in local languages. Dan lomba reportase dan juga lomba busana. Dan lomba reportase dan juga lomba busana. And reporting and fashion show competition. A. Santi, wah, pasti meriah sekali. Wah, pasti meriah sekali. Which means, great, it is surely very festive. B. lobby Nancy. Baiklah, jangan lupa pulang kantor, saya tunggu kamu di lobby. Baiklah, jangan lupa pulang kantor, saya tunggu kamu di lobby. Which means, alright, do not forget, I'll wait for you at the lobby at the office break. Sampai nanti, which means, see you. Was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you again tomorrow and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will present you to an Indonesian female singer, Hetikus Endang. The Sundanese and Minang Pladi singer is able to bring various genres of song very well. The female singer, who was born in Jakarta on August 6, 1957, has been started her career in music since she was at 14 years. As the daughter of former commander of Air Force's base, she was often asked to sing in their air base and at school. Her talent flew from his father, who was once a Kroncong singer. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Dingin by Hetikus Endang.
Hati ini tambah dingin, entah mengapa. Kalau cinta memang aku sudah tak punya, air mataku pun kini keringlah sudah. Salah.
Listener, the song Dingin was composed by Rinto Harahap in 1979. The song was popularized by Hetikus Endang with pop music genre. The song tells about the story of broken heart. The love story does not always in accordance with everyone's expectations. Throughout her career in the music world, various awards have been achieved. Among others, the first winner of Song Festival of West Java in 1972, 1973, and 1974. The second winner of National Song Festival 1976, and the first winner of the National Song Festival in 1977. Hetikus Endang not only known in Indonesia, her popularity also well known in neighboring countries such as Malaysia, Brunei, and Singapore. Even Hetikus Endang was also inaugurated as the best singer for a nice performance in the song Sayang at the Viña del Mar Song Festival in Chile. Well, listeners, let's listen to the next song entitled Kaulah Segalanya by Hetikus Endang. Happy listening.
Oh,
Listener, you've just listened to the song Kaulah Segalanya or You Are My Everything, which was firstly popularized by Indonesian pop singer Ruth Sahanaya. The love theme songs, brought back by Hetikus Endang or Yayat, her nickname, in Kroncong music genre. She reached her top popularity in the 80s. Throughout her career in the Indonesian music, 23 albums have been produced, ranging from pop songs, Kroncong, until dangdut song albums. Hetty said she brings pop in Kroncong version in order to invite the young people who previously thought that Kroncong is the music of old people. She also believes Kroncong will not be disappear since all people involved to preserve it. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Jali Jali by Hetikus Endang. Happy listening and sampai jumpa. Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.